I spent plenty of time there. I remember your dorm room in exquisite detail.
Yeah, I think you may very well have spent more time there than I did. So.
And welcome back to another episode of Exposing Ourselves. I'm Travis Ritchie, and this is episode 57. This is the show where we expose each other to new things. Matt, a big music fan, will assign me one of his favorite music artists to listen to each week, and I, a movie buff, will give him one of my favorite films, and we come together on this very podcast to discuss it all. And with me, as always, is my good friend,
Matt Rundquist. Hey, Travis, how you doing? My phone just went off, but you people who are listening to the podcast won't be able to hear it because I'm going to edit it out. Travis, this week,
I didn't hear it, so
I watched a movie. I watched a movie called Horrible Bosses, and you listened to the band Slothrust. I think this is going to be an exciting episode, but perhaps not for good reasons.
It very well could be. I I would like to make some predictions, and I'm going to write them down here, and we'll see how well they come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your imaginary typewriter is very busy right now, I would imagine.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So how the heck have you been since the last time we recorded?
Pretty good. We recorded relatively recently, so I don't have too much to report other than today I had a studio session with a real live cellist.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, for my big song that is going to be released on April 26th. I should probably know this off the top of my head because it's going to be released on April 26th. It's called Staying, and it's going to be the debut of my new band name as well, but it's also going to be the debut of real live recorded strings on the song. I'm telling you, I'm going all out for this one. Do you want to hear what the new band name is?
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to tell me.
Yes, I'm going to tell you right now. The band name is Tea Service.
Tea Service.
Yeah, like the tea.
Tea Service.
Tea Service. Yeah.
So spilling some tea, is that the
Tea. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that'll be obvious to the straights, the normies, but yeah, Tea Service. It's a reference to my time in drag and my love for drag, and it's actually really hard to find a band name these days because there are 1 billion bands, actually. I looked it up, and there are 1 billion of them, and all of the names are taken, except for the name Tea Service. So
that's crazy. I wish I could have given you my band names page link, and I would have been honored if you would have had one of my band names that I had put on there.
I post about it on Facebook, but I chose a name a few hours later, so you probably didn't even have a chance to give me a suggestion.
I didn't even see
What's your favorite name from your band names page?
I don't remember any of them. That's the thing.
I see.
I don't remember. That's why. Otherwise, I would have thrown a whole list of them at you. Mm-hmm. But they weren't maintained by me. They were maintained by Mike Jernt, one of our friends from college.
Yes, I remember Mike. Yeah.
Who you might know? Do you remember Mike?
I mean, I remember him. We're not still in contact.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you were
Mike. If you're there, call in.
hey, the phones are ringing. Hello? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
So that's great.
Yeah.
To hear this song.
Me too. I'm excited for you to hear it. I think it's going to be really fun. But anyways, yeah, that's kind of it in terms of new things in my life. I've got a few things coming up next week. We're going to do Ladies Rock. Oh, and I've got Diorama-rama. So I created a diorama, 90s themed, and because that's
you did this last year too,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did this last year. So the prompt this year was a 90s theme, like whatever you want to, whatever that inspires in you, make the 90s come to life. And so I chose to do the Bronco, chase, the OJ Simpson Ford Bronco chase that shut down the LA freeway. So I did a diorama of him being chased by the police cars and all the people lined up on the overpasses and so forth, watching the whole thing go by. So I'll send you a picture after its public reveal. So, and then Amy also did her own diorama, but I'm going to let her talk about that. So,
yeah, I think it would have been cool for you to do your Your dorm room.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't spend enough time there to know what it looks like, though, so...
I spent plenty of time there. I remember your dorm room in exquisite detail.
Yeah, I think so, you may very well have spent more time there than I did. So
maybe. Nah, yeah. Probably not. Yeah. Well, great. So I'm excited to see your diorama. And I've never, I don't know that I've ever actually made a diorama.
Yeah, I think last year was my first diorama. I don't think I made one for school. Huh. So
interesting.
I've got a friend. So cool. I mean, I've got a friend here in Milwaukee who loves dioramas, and so she started National Diorama Month, and so far it's just Milwaukee, but if you want to start a diorama-rama in LA, I'm sure I could get you the information.
Well, you know, it was a big part of Community where, like, every year they had to make a diorama about something, and one year mm-hmm. they made a diorama about them making a diorama.
Nice.
And it was all very meta, and I don't know why it was funny, but it was.
It was definitely funny.
Yeah. I remember that now. Well, my week was interesting. My agent officially went under, apparently. I got a letter from SAG saying that I was not allowed to be represented by my agent anymore, by my agency anymore. So that was a spectacular and fast implosion, and I am a little worried, although I will say that I've got a big month coming up in April with two TV appearances and maybe news about my next book and all sorts of things coming up, so that I am in a good position to pitch myself to new representation.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And one of the things I did this week was I hired a PR person, friend of mine.
You had mentioned that you were talking about that.
Yeah, so she said we talked on Thursday, and we had a and she sent me a package of some of her options for, you know, what she can do, and I'm like yeah, let's do all that and see what happens.
Yeah. So she doesn't do music representation, does she?
What? Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. You should poke her about it.
Talk about that off the air.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that's that. Other than that, I did manage to go for a hike today. Today is my day off. Other than this, I didn't have a whole lot to do except actually do a lot of writing for this PR package. I had to send her a bunch of information about myself, answer a bunch of questions, and so I managed to go for a hike with Coco, and it rained right when we got back to the car.
Oh, nice.
And then it rained pretty hard today. So I was happy about that. It was really nice. Yeah.
We had a little bit of snow. We actually had 8 inches of snow here on Friday. But it's almost all...
Wow, finally.
It's almost all melted already. But
Course it is.
It landed and melted. So
what the F, Wisconsin? Come on, get your act together.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, it's voting year. It's an election year, so... Get your act together, Wisconsin. All right.
We'll do our best.
Why don't we go? Yeah. Why don't we get into the meat of the episode and we'll shake things up? And I would say let's do the music first because we do like ending on a positive note.
Oh, well, we're going to do the movie second. So I don't know if that's possible, but.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, are we split today? Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think we are.
Well, go ahead and tell me about Slow Thrust.
Sloth Rust. So this band...
It's their one redeeming thing is that their title has Slow Thrust also in it, so...
they're a duo, an indie rock duo is how they're sometimes described, but they have a lot of different sounds. It's all sort of driven by the band leader whose name is Leah, and she plays guitar and sort of, she's kind of all over the place, but she also sings, writes all the lyrics, and then the drummer is the other full-time member of the band. They do have a bassist that plays on the albums, or sometimes she'll play on the albums, and then they have a touring bassist when they're going around. Speaking of touring, I'm going to see Sloth Rust live next month, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to give you this band, is because I've been listening to them a bunch in preparation for the concert. I'm going to guess that this was probably too noisy for you, but one of the things that I really love about this band is when I listen to their songs, I never really know what's coming next. They are not bound by sort of what we would call traditional song structures. Yes, there's things that you can kind of identify as like the verse, the chorus, sort of, but they'll have these sort of jagged guitar things, or they'll have like drums come out of nowhere, or really quiet stuff followed by explosions of noise. And there's never really...
In the same song sometimes.
Yeah, in the same song, right? And so there's never really a time when you're sitting there that you're like, yep, okay, here comes the chorus, right? That there's always something surprising happening. And I really like that. So, Travis, tell me what you thought of Sloth Rust.
Boy, I almost want to have you keep talking a little bit and tell me more about what you liked about them, because you're right, this is not my type of thing. But I will say, I do understand why it is your type of thing. Like, I really pick up on that. And I will also say, I imagine this would be a band that is much cooler to listen to in person than it is in recording. So I'm excited for you to see them live.
Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting experience listening to them.
Okay.
I almost didn't listen to this album twice. The first time I listened to it, I did something different. I had to go to an acupuncture appointment. And the interesting thing about acupuncture is you have to be very still when you're doing it. And so I don't unmute yourself. I want to hear you laugh at this. I put it in as I was getting all the needles stuck into me, and it was agony listening to this particular band and having to do nothing except focus on the music and the things going on in my ears.
Yeah,
was not fun for me. Because you're right, it's a noisy band. It's noisy. That was the first word that came into my head. Here's the other thing. The first song starts fairly generically. Like, the beginning of the song is actually generic, like a couple of measures of one thing.
Sure.
Add another thing on top of it and do that for a couple of measures. And then you're like, okay, here. And I remember thinking, okay, this is boring. This is going to depend on the voice that comes in. This is going to depend on the singing.
Okay.
And the very first note was of singing was pitchy as hell. Mm-hmm. And that didn't really go away. So that bugged me.
You think she's pitchy?
Was it a she singing that first song? Because
Leah is the one who sings.
All of them.
She sings all of
them.
Yeah.
Is there a guy in the group?
He's the drummer.
The other one?
Yeah.
Okay. And he never sings.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Because sometimes it sounded like a woman singing, and sometimes it sounded like a guy to me, and I wasn't really sure. But I also think there is a lot of kind of distortion going on with the singing. It's not well mixed. It's not easy. Like, a lot of times I was listening to it, even laying there on the acupuncture table with nothing to do but listen, I couldn't understand what the words were. A lot of times it was just mumbling is what it sounded like. Mm. And I fault, I guess, the singer and the mix to that. But I was getting a lot of angsty, angry teen vibes from this music, which is not at all my vibe. That's not my jam. So... there was one song, and I don't remember, but maybe the two or three or four songs in, that it kind of like is slow, and I'm like, okay, good, we're gonna get a nice ballad here, and we're gonna kind of slow down, and then in the middle of the song, it just turns angry and noisy, and I really didn't like that.
Mm.
There was one song late in the album that stayed soft and contemplative and a little ballady, and that one is what I enjoyed most. I don't remember which one it was off the top of my head, but I think it's probably The Couch Incident. Does that sound right?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, so but other than that, Matt, this was not my jam. So I almost didn't give it another shot.
But then you remembered that you have sworn upon whatever it is that you swear upon, that you're definitely going to listen to things twice if you can stand it.
Have I? Well, yeah. Okay, so there's the thing, if I can stand it. And I really didn't think I could stand it. Mm-hmm. But here I was going on my hike today, mm-hmm. and I did the first half of the hike listening to podcasts, as I am wont to do, mm-hmm. and catching up on my Marketplace and Science Friday and Wait, Don't Tell Me. And then I said, you know what? No, I'm gonna give it another shot for Matt.
Yeah.
Matt deserves me to give this another shot.
Yeah.
And I will say, here's the thing. Here's the weird thing. It both got better and worse the second time.
Interesting.
Through.
What do you mean by that?
Some elements of it got better, like the beat, the mm-hmm. kind of like the energy of it mm-hmm. was better when I had something to do with my body,
yeah.
right? And so I think that will go well into hearing it live. But the music of it and the singing of it and the pitchiness of the voice was worse the second time through, because mm-hmm. it all was just things I noticed more. So it didn't actually change my view of mm-hmm. the album. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting experience to listen to it twice.
I do think it is just really interesting to listen to things more than once. It can be really, mm-hmm. really hard to judge music. And we've talked about this before, but it can be just really hard to like get what exactly it is that you're listening to the first time
yeah.
you hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's weird because, no, I just thought, I thought that being able to concentrate on the music and be aware of nothing but the music would be an elucidatory kind of exercise.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Well, and I think there are circumstances that would be true, right?
Sure.
But it's still, you know.
The Beatles probably could have
everything
from that.
Sure, but that's something that you've probably heard half the songs off of before without even right. trying, you know. I do think that it can be difficult to you're right. It can be very difficult to listen intensely to something, even if it's something that you like. It can be difficult to be like down in the weeds with it. Like sometimes you've talked mm-hmm. often about how you know have like Sunday afternoon music where that it's a nice thing to listen to on a Sunday afternoon. You don't have to listen to too closely. And I don't think that's a read on it at all, right? That's just, it's saying I don't have to pay tight attention to this music. I just let it wash over me. And mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. music, you know, maybe is a little bit easier to let wash over you than listen to really, really closely. I like this music because I feel like it rewards close listening, because there's so many for a two-person band, although admittedly there's a lot of bass in here that they just don't have a permanent bassist. For a two-person band, they create a lot of sound and they do a lot of different things. And you're absolutely right. I think this is going to be a really fun live show, just because there's a lot of like quiet, loud, right? And that's always fun when you can shake your body and get the, you know, get the heebie-jeebies out. And so I'm looking forward to the show.
I can picture you moving to this.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
In a nice kind of club atmosphere.
Yeah. You know, and it's really energetic a lot of the time, right? The drums are really going and the guitarist is really getting after it. And so there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on here. I think one of the things, I've talked about this already, but I just think, you know, this is called like indie rock or alternative, but it's not, it doesn't sound, I don't, this band doesn't sound like anything else that I've ever listened to. Like there's elements of it that sound exactly like other things, right? But it's not a pastiche. And like I say, there's never a point when I'm listening to this album that I'm like, I know what's coming next, right? And you feel that all the time with different music. I remember your least favorite album on the show so far, LCD Sound System. One of the things that bothered you about them was like you could feel it, you know, building to like, okay, and now we're gonna, move and then it didn't move and it really bothered you, right? I'll bet that never happened with this album because there was never a time when it sets you up to like feel like, oh, here's going to be the thing, right? It's it's very surprising music.
That's fair. That's fair. I will agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just a bad surprise in your case. Jack in the Box, right?
For me, it wasn't. It was like getting wool socks for Christmas or a birthday. You know, I don't know. It was itchy to my brain.
Yeah. The other thing we should probably talk about is her voice. I think what you're referring to as her pitchiness is maybe just her unwillingness to like sing a like really nice clean note. You know, I don't think this is what pitchiness is. No. There's like a timbre to her voice that is sort of edgy and grating, right? But she's not singing the wrong note.
Oh yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a different thing, and it's something that didn't really strike my fancy on this one. But I get stuff like that. No, it's and as far as the pitchiness, it was really only that first impression that got me. The rest of it was fine, but that first note on the first line of lyrics, and the whole line is very pitchy, but that first note was enough off of the note that she was trying to sing that it was disturbing to my ears.
Yeah. But I will say she does have like a really, you know, interesting voice, and I think it's interesting that you sort of picked up on it, like, is this a man, is this a woman? Because I've always been intrigued by those vocalists that are kind of hard to tell. There's a vocalist in the band Silver Sun Pickups that for years I thought was a woman, and it turns out it's a guy with just like that vocal timbre that sounds kind of, you know, like female. There's a bunch of vocalists that are like that, that for whatever reason, whether it's delivery or just the type of music that they're singing or whatever, really it's ambiguous, and I like that. So, and that maybe is not something that you're into or not into. It's just, it's not something that trips your trigger, I guess.
Yeah. Not super much. I do like a little bit of androgyny in my singers. There's certainly a lot of occurrences of that throughout, you know, the kind of music that I listen to.
But
that didn't bug me or not here. Okay. It was just the first impressions. And also I think she did a lot of sing-talking that, you know, and kind of like there was a little too much screaming for my taste, you know. So again, that angsty, angry teen thing that I mentioned earlier, and I think that is just not my taste. That's all.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Some like almost like heavy metal vibes. You know, some.
Yeah. Like, well, that's kind of what I mean when you call this indie alternative. Like you're not picking up on that. There are definitely some heavy metal vibes to this, and there's definitely like quiet singer songwriter stuff and a lot of things in between. So, anyways, what do you think? Are you about ready to give it a rating?
I mean, I can.
Sign me up. I want to hear it.
I settled on a 3, and I'm going to stick there.
A 3. Okay.
Yeah, I solidly not lower above, because I do think
solidly above LCD, solidly above LCD sound system.
Which was what, a 1?
That was a 1. Yeah, you gave that a 1.
Oof. So this was. I will say that I did recognize the things that make them appealing, especially to someone like you who likes this kind of thing. And so I didn't want to ding them as irredeemable, but just definitely not the kind of thing that I'm into.
Sure.
That's all.
Sure. Cool. Well, I would say Slothrust is for me a 7. This album, I really like it. This is something I discovered in the last year, and I've been sort of working my way through their catalog. This is their most famous album, and the tour that I'm going to later next month is a 10th anniversary tour of the release of this album, which is this is their most successful album. So I'm looking forward to the show, but I'm not like the world's biggest Sloth Rust fan or anything. But this is solidly good music to me, so I gave it a 7.
All right. Very good.
All right, and Travis. Go ahead.
No, I just want to touch back on Sloth Rust. It's worth.
Yeah, I don't know why you insist on saying the band name wrong. Why is that?
Yeah, because I like Sloth Rusting better than Sloth Rusting.
Yeah, but that's not the name of the band.
You're right.
I thought it was Sloth Rust for a long time, but then I looked it up. So, Travis, tell me about the movie Horrible Bosses.
Well, Matt, Horrible Bosses is a 2011 film. It's a kind of a black comedy, and it directed by a guy by the name of Seth Gordon, who I'd never heard of, and written by a guy by the name of Michael Markowitz, who I'd never really heard of, and a couple other people. But it has a star-studded cast. I mean, listen to this. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston, Colin Farrell, Kevin Spacey, Donald Sutherland, Jamie Foxx, Julie Bowen, who maybe hadn't hit with Modern Family yet. But it was just, like, a crazy cast. And what's funny is that I'm a huge Jason Sudeikis fan, and he got third billing out of the three, like, hero protagonists, which I think is pretty funny. And because I think today he would probably get first billing, especially above Jason Bateman. But it's about three guys who have three bosses who are awful, each of them kind of awful in different ways, which I didn't remember, but I really appreciated, and how they stumble upon the idea to kill their bosses. And it kind of becomes like a throw mama from the train situation, like let's figure out how to kill them. They come up with the idea to let's kill each other's bosses and stuff like that. And it's just kind of that. But what's funny about this movie, it has a sequel and I haven't watched it yet, because this movie is dangerously close to being too much. And I mean too much improv, too much like weird man humor, like, you know, that kind of humor that's only funny to straight men. But I think this rides that line very well. I found it very funny, and I thought it was either well directed or just these actors didn't feel like it didn't have long enough leashes that they ended up doing something like the 2016 Ghostbusters movie, which was a movie where like a bunch of extremely talented comedy actors had carte blanche to do whatever they wanted and improvise the hell out of a movie, and it was awful for it. And I'm afraid that Horrible Bosses might be that. Horrible Bosses 2, I mean, might be that. So I haven't watched it yet, because this one is so close to that. But I will say, ultimately, I really liked this movie, and I'm scared to ask. What did you think of Horrible Bosses, Matt?
This movie is too much. Yeah, it's... Oh, God. Ugh. I spent a huge portion of the first half hour of this movie like thinking that you had punked me and given me something other than a comedy, because there were no jokes. Like, there were no jokes at the beginning of this movie at all. It's just three people who are being horrifically abused in their jobs, and they're mad about it, which, you know, is understandable. You know, and we can go through them one by one, right? But, like, there's nothing funny about Kevin Spacey's character and the way he treats Jason Bateman. Like, it's just awful. Like, it's just absolutely psychotic. And then you get Jennifer Aniston, who I think what they were going for there is it's funny to hear America's sweetheart Jennifer Aniston say very naughty words one right after the next and be sexually aggressive. That's what I think they were going for. But what they got was horrible sexual harassment over and over again, along with a guy who gets no sympathy from his two closest friends in the world. That's not funny. That's just awful. Like, that's just mean-spirited and gross, right? And then you've got Colin Farrell, who is funny adjacent, I think, because he's like, it's funny. I thought it was Sam Rockwell at first because he's under, because he's got the, like, he's got so much, like, he's got a, like a,
yeah,
a,
the bald cap, a fore, and a bald cap, wig. Yeah,
and
yeah,
weird. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's Colin Farrell. And he's the closest to funny because he's just kind of like an idiot, right? But then he's also like, you know, the Jason Sudeikis character is like the least likable and relatable of the three guys because he's a horrible horn dog who's like really misogynistic and hateful towards women. And you're like, I'm sorry, am I supposed to be rooting for this guy? Like, this is the guy that I'm supposed to be on the side of? Like, so I just really... This movie did not start well for me at all. And I got to the point where there were a few laughs, right? There were definitely some things that I laughed at. I will say there are probably 30 rape jokes in this movie, and two of them are funny, and I just don't think that's a high enough hit rate, right? Like, I'm not the kind of person who thinks a rape joke is never funny, right? I do think there are funny rape jokes, but I do think that if you're going to tell rape jokes, every single one of them better be funny. And a lot of these are just awful and gross and, you know, awful. Yeah. Yeah. So, boy, you know, everybody's welcome. Everybody's very committed, right? Jennifer Aniston is doing her best to, like, it's clear that she saw somebody be funny once and was like, I'm going to try to do that. And Charlie Day is,
whoa. Yeah.
And Charlie Day is probably the closest to, because he brings that Always Sunny in Philadelphia energy to this. And
yeah,
there are times in this movie that gets over the line and turns into funny, but It's Always Sunny exists in its own little world. Right. And a lot of the stuff that works in that world doesn't work in this, which is nominally like a real world type of situation. And then of course you've got Kevin Spacey, who we know is an abusive jerk in real life. And then it turns out, I mean, we didn't know this at the time, but we know it now, right? Turns out he's really good at playing abusive jerks, too.
Huh.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I was, boy, woof. It's really heavy. This movie is really, really, really heavy. And frankly, trigger warning to anybody that's ever suffered any kind of workplace abuse, because this is tough to watch at times.
Well, yes. And I will say, though, that they're...
Jennifer Aniston sexually assaults like five people in this movie.
Who does?
Jennifer Aniston sexually assaults
but she gets her comeuppance, is what I'm saying. And so, you have to create a good villain. And this movie has three villains, and the heroes are bumbling, and they don't know how to defeat their own personal dragons. And but they somehow stumble into some sort of solution.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. That does sort of happen. Yeah. I
wonder if the sequel is, because both of, in the, but at the end of this movie, like, don't all of them kind of become the boss? So is the sequel addressing
Charlie Day. Charlie Day doesn't become the boss.
No, it doesn't become the boss, but definitely he has the upper hand. He's the, you know,
yeah,
he has
by
the status
blackmailing
at
her.
His work.
Well,
but it makes him the horrible boss then, right? So I wonder if the sequel is them being the horrible bosses. That'd be interesting. I doubt
it's a good elevator pitch.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if that's the case with the sequel. I didn't have such a problem with some of the elements as you did. I as usual have an ability to kind of put my mindset kind of in this world, and I didn't mind that they made the villains villainous, because that has to happen, and I really enjoyed the bumbling nature that these guys exhibited trying to figure out a solution that is a bad solution. You shouldn't kill people, and there are also voices of reason within that group where what, you know, at first they're like, no, we shouldn't kill people, before they're like, oh yeah, this is a good idea. They're bad people.
And they do get to the point where they're like, I can't do it, right? Like that,
right?
Like this movie does end with the three of them not having killed anyone.
Exactly. So, and I do like Jamie Foxx coming in as the
I would guy say Jamie Foxx was one of the highlights of this movie for sure. Absolutely.
Yes. It's such a weird role for him.
Well, but he seemed to know what movie he was in, which is like, I'm gonna take advantage of these idiots, right? That was good, right? I liked that.
Yeah, he and Colin Farrell both knew what movie they were in, and I thought did a good job. I'm a little surprised you didn't like it a little better.
I would agree, than you did. Right? I think this movie started off so rough for me, like that. Because I do, you know, I think you're saying that they were establishing them as villains, but I do think some of that stuff I was supposed to find funny and just didn't, right? You know, like the way Jennifer Aniston was treating Charlie Day, I think I was supposed to be like, oh, huh, Jennifer Aniston is saying, you know, like.
Well, no, I don't think you were supposed to find her funny, but I think you might have found Charlie Day's reactions funny. In the kind of over the top way, you know. But it's funny. I was thinking about the other workplace comedy that you probably do know, Office Space.
Yeah,
with Jennifer Aniston actually, where featuring a boss that is not this bad, mm-hmm. but also kind of oppressive and just an awful boss. I wouldn't say horrible, but bad. Mm-hmm. I feel like this, you know.
I would say if I had to like put numbers to it, I would say Office Space is like a billion times better than this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I disagree.
Really?
I think Office Space has pacing issues, and it's I don't love its dry, sardonic kind
it
of
has pacing issues. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah,
I mean, it does. It's kind of a slow movie, and that's a bit of the point. But I think that movie couldn't exist these days. And that I will say was one of the things I liked about this movie is it moved fast and it accomplished what it needed to do and didn't linger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I will say I did appreciate that. Sometimes a few of the movies that we have watched kind of. They feel very overstuffed, and this did not feel overstuffed. It was pretty linear and didn't go on a bunch of tangents that went nowhere or introducing characters that don't really do anything.
Well, now I'm interested to find a comedy, a modern comedy that we can agree on.
And we do not agree on modern comedies. This is where I would remind our audience once again that you don't like Bridesmaids.
It's not that I don't like Bridesmaids. I like it fine.
Oh,
it's not
okay.
My favorite movie. It was like it was my ex-boyfriend Matthew's favorite comedy. Mm. And so I like it. I think it's a fine movie.
Oh,
but I don't
I've never
see
heard
how
that from
it,
you before.
If you wait. So you love Bridesmaids?
Oh yeah. Bridesmaids is fantastic.
And I'm kind of surprised that you love Bridesmaids and not this, because Bridesmaids has its own style of like weird, like gross out humor.
Well, I don't mind weird gross out humor. I just don't want to watch people being abused on screen.
Huh. Huh. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah. This movie, if anybody's curious, was 98 minutes long and had a budget of $35 million and made $209 million in the box office.
Oh, man.
That's probably why it got a sequel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we deserve what we get.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else to add, then I'm fine with going ahead and skipping to the ratings.
I think the question really becomes when you rate something below five, like what do the different levels mean, right? I have a really good idea when we're rating above five. Like I know what six means. I know what seven means. I know what 8, 9, 10 means, right? But once you get below five, what is, you know, what is really the difference between a 2 movie and a 3 movie and a 4 movie, right? This isn't a 1. There's some good stuff here. I did laugh some, right?
Okay.
You know, this didn't make me, like, mad to be alive or anything. But I was just, like, I was uncomfortable for a lot of this quote-unquote comedy. And not, like, in a ooh kind of way, but, like, in a ugh kind of way. And so I think maybe I'll just shoot down the middle and go with a 3. I think this is a 3 for me. Although I can't really point to anything that would make it better than a 2 or worse than a 4. Like I'm not sure. I really didn't like it. It's a 3.
All right. Well, I continue my journey of delving into the mystery and enigma that is Matt's tastes in movies. I'm going to go ahead and give this one an 8. I felt it was a really strong comedy. Uh-huh. I liked it a lot. I haven't seen it more than, you know, this is the second time I've ever seen it. I may watch it again. Okay. I can definitely see myself watching it again sometime, but it's not going to be like in my pantheon of movies.
Okay.
Before we actually get to next week's assignments, I do want to say I saw the new Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, fun.
On Friday. I didn't realize it was opening. I saw the trailer for it. It's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And I had seen the trailer for it a few months ago, and like that looked like a really kick-ass trailer. Did you see the Ghostbusters Afterlife?
No.
Ooh. And you like the original Ghostbusters, right?
Yes.
And perhaps the sequel?
I do.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna segue right from this.
No, man, we haven't gotten to. No. I want to hear about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire first.
I will tell you about it next week after I make you watch Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Can't make this guy do anything. All right.
So
Travis.
Yeah, because.
Oh, go ahead.
No, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is okay. But I really enjoyed Afterlife, and I would like you to watch it I think it's a good spiritual successor to the original Ghostbusters duo of movies and pair of movies, and it manages to kind of pay homage to the original franchise while moving the story forward in an interesting way and introducing new characters, and but also doing a lot of fan service that doesn't feel too on the nose.
Yeah, because you know I don't love fan service for its own sake. So,
yeah, and there's going to be some, so expect that. But I think that it's not. It didn't feel like too much. It felt loving to me, and it was directed by Jason Reitman, who is the son of Ivan Reitman, who directed the first two. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's a family. It's definitely a family film.
Cool.
In a way. Yeah, in more ways than one, actually. You'll see what I mean.
Okay.
What have you got for me for next week?
So I usually ask you at this point if you've heard of a band, but I'm going to ask you, are you familiar with the genre ska?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I listened to some ska back in high school, actually.
Okay.
Because I spent a lot of time in the art room, and the other guys who were in the art room played a lot of ska.
Well, there you go. Okay. So I have historically not been a fan of ska, but last year I came across this song Raised by Wolves by a band called The Interrupters. And it was a 2022 or 2023 album. And I really, really, I listened to the whole album and I really liked it. And that's very unusual for me because usually I just don't, ska can sound very samey sometimes. And I don't have a lot of patience for that. But I really, really dig this album by the band The Interrupters. And I'm clearly stalling while I look up the name. It's In the Wild. And so your playlist for this week is a 42-minute, 14-track journey through ska, ska punk, pop punk. It's really, really good. It's actually three brothers. I think two of them might be twins because otherwise the term's triplets. Anyways, the point is it's three brothers and then they're, so they play the instruments and then there's a woman fronting the band. And she's, as far as I know, unrelated to them, except in the sense that we're all members of the human race.
Right, right. That could be fat. That could be fun. I'm excited to see this. I'm legit excited to re-experience ska because I probably have not had it touch my ears much in the last, I don't know, 30 years. But wasn't there a big ska song that I'm thinking of? Like,
there have been several times when ska has like come into, you know, like more popularity, but especially when we were in college in the late 90s, ska was pretty big then.
Yeah, was Knock on Wood, that's the song I'm just thinking of. Knock on Wood, that was ska, right?
Ever, ever, knock on wood.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Great. Okay, hey, see, I know things sometimes.
Yeah, look at you go. Hey, you know what you know what I know, Travis? I know
that
our listeners can write to us at exposingourselvespodcast@gmail.com, and they can say whatever they want. We can't stop them.
There is no possible way that any one of you listening right now does not have an opinion that either agrees or disagrees with one of us, because our opinions were so divergent today.
Yeah, they
really
were.
I want to hear what you think about both the Sloth Rust and Horrible Bosses. Wait, I said it right, didn't I?
You did say it right. Yeah, I was laughing because I was
trying to be respectful to you.
Yeah.
So I want to hear what you guys think. So please write in. And did you say how to write in?
I did say the email address, but they could also comment on our Facebook page. Just search for Exposing Ourselves. And Travis will definitely have a post up on our Facebook page so that you can comment on it.
I will endeavor to do so.
Hey, Travis. Whew.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for exposing yourself to me.
Oh, Matt, I enjoy it every single time. Thank you for exposing yourself to me.